B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Yeah, Lurch Stevens. Mike Missinelli, Mike. 97.5, we live. It's like coming to you live from City Line. You know the time, 2 to 6, Mikey Miss. 97.5, no matter where you at, tune into the show. I'm telling you, television, telephone, radio, let's go. He got the city on lock, and it ain't a question. Been on top a long time, and he's still flexing. Came a long way from the barrel that raised him, but never forgot where he came from. Cause he taking your calls, talking about y'all, talking about life, man, he talk about it all. Smooth on the mic like a fadeaway from Jordan. He turned into a beast when that lightsaber caught him. Top shelf, A1 guest around the globe. Best interviews and topics you didn't know. Sparring with callers, back and forth like a Google chat. His resume speaks for itself, yeah, you can Google that. There he is, it's the man you've been waiting for. The sports talk off the Fonzarelli, Mike Missinelli. Yeah, Mike Missinelli.
Yeah, the sports talk Arthur Fonzarelli. On a Friday, Smooth Groove Friday, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast, is the Mike Missinelli Show. Football Friday. Yes, a football weekend. We finally had football. We had it last night, and I think a lot of people were gacked to see football live on their television screen last night as the Kansas City Chiefs win. There was some controversy at the start of it, which... I don't know, had that happened in Philadelphia, it might have been a different national vibe, but we'll talk about that later. At least football is back. And here we go with the Philadelphia Eagles. And, you know, you kind of forget that Doug Peterson is, he's unblemished in an opener. 4-0 in opener. So Dougie can coach the crap out of home openers. And so therefore, I am not worried. That reinforced my feeling that the Eagles win this game going away. And there's a lot of people out there, oh, they're a little nervous about it. Oh, they have a good front. No. The Eagles are a much better team. They will win this game relatively easy. They will cover. This is a 10-point-plus game. Are you feeling the same thing, Tyron?
I got there. It took me a little while. Earlier in the week, I was a little worried. Now, looking at it, I think they smoked this team. I don't think Washington scores very much either.
Okay. So we're good. We're golden.
So we're
going to talk about the merits of this team here, which we have not done. We haven't really talked about the merits of the team and where they're going to show us how strong they are, on what areas of the field. I have never seen more hype about this quarterback ever. Now, there's probably a lot of factors for that because there's not a lot of stuff to write about. And the writers haven't really been at the practices where they're digging in and they're not talking to coaches and stuff like that, except for the Zoom setup chats. So Carson Wentz is an easy topic to talk about, but my God, he's gained weight. He's married with a kid. He's settled down. He's got he's more of a leader. His teammates respect him more. I mean, this is like the golden boy coming out here for the season, Tyrone, isn't it?
Yeah, I disagree with you on this one completely.
All right, why?
I don't think they're doing anything outside of the ordinary. No, that's not happening in every city where they have a good quarterback.
Okay.
And it's not like they're treating him like Lamar Jackson.
I think maybe he deserves it. Maybe he deserves it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe this could be a year where he's going to really bust out and be an MVP candidate.
Maybe. But I think that this time of year, around the country, it starts to focus on the quarterbacks. And I think he's had a... he's had a good offseason as far as what he said, and I think that has swayed a lot of people more than anything he possibly could be doing on the practice field, because what do they know of a practice field?
Yeah.
And I think that what he came out about the racial injustice and that kind of stuff,
yeah,
I think the teammates are probably talking about him more this year than they have the previous years, because last year, the year before, they were talking about Foles.
Well, this is all good, because I'm in Carson's camp, right? And what I see, at least I noticed, I think that the Eagles are preparing to move on from Carson. And the only thing that's going to stop that is that the dude balls out. And like, he could change their mind and go, okay, we realize now we do have a franchise quarterback. So all this stuff about us drafting the other guy is nonsense.
And I think that's what makes me hesitant about the whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if a franchise quarterback can operate like that.
With what, the guy on the shoulder?
With that whole circumstance? Yeah, being 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Like, Dak is down there in Dallas on the franchise tag.
Yeah.
You know that's a one-year deal. You know how they feel about you. They're not married to you.
Yeah.
The Eagles are trying to straddle it. You give him the long-term deal like he's your guy, and then you undermine him at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can really have long-term success like that, because you're going to have ups and downs no matter how good the season.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Most of the fans don't think they're undermining him. I mean, it's just it's cynical people like us
that think they're
undermining him, right? So the majority of fan base doesn't see that side of it at all.
The fans, you're right. But I think he does, because I don't think he's dumb.
Uh-huh.
And I think that he knows. Imagine you go out and think, okay, I just have to go out and win. Like last year, you saw who he was throwing to late in that year.
Right.
Those guys stunk. He got those guys to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Gets a concussion, which wasn't his fault, just gets a concussion.
Yeah.
There's stories about how he can't finish a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
They draft a quarterback after that. I don't know if he can possibly be confident going into the year.
But everything is in his control at this point. Like, he controls the whole situation. And if he controls it to the extent where he shows everybody he's one of the top four quarterbacks in the league, then there's no more consternation about that position. There's only consternation now because of the injuries that have prevented him from playing games. There's consternation because there's this new wave of quarterback in the NFL that I think that this front office gets a little tickled by. So, he can stomp it all. He can stomp it all by performing every day as a franchise quarterback, every Sunday whenever they play.
Yes, but you just said top four.
Uh-huh. Top five?
I'm saying what if he's sixth or fifth?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's in the ballpark.
Would that be enough?
Yeah, we'll know if he's one of the better quarterbacks in the league, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. We'll see it. And so it's within his control. And then people say, see, that was the right thing to do, to put that kind of heat on him. Even though it probably is not connected, but you know how people are going to say, see, Carson needed that motivation. That's good. I'm glad they drafted Hurts. Stuff like that. So, but in any event, let's play a little quick game here called Are We Happy With?
All right.
All right, so let's go, are we happy with our quarterback situation?
Yes.
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 Right?
Yes.
Nat?
Yes. Yeah, yes.
Okay. Are we happy with our running back situation?
I am, yes.
Okay.
If everybody's healthy.
Okay. So that's part of it.
Yeah.
Now you got it. So are you happy, or are you just... Is it a teeth smile, or is it just
a non-open mouth smile? It's a teeth smile.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scott, and I'm glad they picked up a fourth guy. I like their...
Okay. Are we happy with their wide receiver situation?
Happier than last year. That's not a teeth smile.
It's not a teeth smile.
No.
Okay. Are we happy with our tight end situation?
Yes, best in the league.
Okay, now there's this pall over it, which has to be put in there. But primarily, we're happy with it.
Yeah.
Are we happy with our offensive line situation?
No.
Now it comes out today, Lane Johnson's surgery that we didn't really know about, and that's been the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So has it been decided whether he's playing?
Not yet.
Not yet.
My guess is he'll play.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's been at practice, and when they're doing the install, he's in there.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't be happy with it right now.
Okay. Let's go to the other side. Are we happy with our defensive line?
Yes, but it's not a teeth smile.
So, but it's a yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got really good tackles.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right. Are we happy with the linebackers?
No. You have no idea.
That's a frown.
Yeah, you have
a
no
frowny
idea.
Face.
That's a frown face.
Mm-hmm.
The least important position, but no clue if those guys can play.
All right, we happy with the cornerbacks?
Yes, because they're better than last year. Because they could not be worse.
Okay, we happy with the safeties?
Don't know. It's just a
flat line. TBA. No expression.
Yeah, nothing. I think Mills. Everybody says that close to the line of scrimmage thing mm-hmm. probably suits Mills, and he hasn't looked out. But I need to see something in a game.
Uh huh.
But it's not like linebacker where these guys have never played football. Or played enough football. So I feel better than linebacker, but not good.
Okay. And finally, are we happy with the special teams, and without the kicker punter, just the special teams that cover and do that stuff?
For sure.
Yeah, because they got some good special teamers.
Yeah, and good coach, and they've always been good. And Adam mm-hmm. Rager, if nothing else, even if he struggles at wide receiver, mm-hmm. I think he'll do some things in the return game.
And we're certainly happy with the kicker punter, right?
The punter for sure, the kicker most of the time, but not all the time.
Not all the time.
Inside, close kicks,
but
he misses too many.
Push comes to shove, you're happy with him.
He's a smile.
He's a smile on the punter, perhaps the best in football.
And the
closed mouth smile.
A Tyrone type smile for the kicker. A Natalie smile for the punter.
All right, and finally, are we happy with the long snapper?
Yeah, he actually does. I mean, we have not needed to worry about him at all. Mm-hmm. And that's the job. I don't remember many bad snaps in the punt game or the kick game in years.
We have him with the coaching staff?
That's a question mark.
Yeah.
Huh. We know about the head coach.
Yeah.
There is no offensive coordinator.
Some new guys in there now.
Right. And no.
You're not happy with the coaching staff.
I'm in the middle. Huh. And Schwartz needs to show me a little bit more. He didn't like Malcolm Jenkins.
Uh-huh.
He thought Jenkins wanted to do what Jenkins wanted to do. That's part of why Jenkins is gone. He has more power than any defensive coordinator probably in the game. He runs off young players. Maybe those guys can't play, or we'll find out that he wasn't developing them properly. So I got some questions about Schwartz. He's got Slay. Mm-hmm. Use him correctly. Will they get pressure? He hates the blitz. All that kind of stuff. Schwartz overall does a good job, but I can't just go in and think with all these new parts, he's automatically going to figure it out.
All right. So generally, we're happy.
Yeah.
Generally, we're happy. And what that comes out to is a win Sunday, and most likely a playoff team of 10 wins. Easy.
That's what
we can't sit. We're not sitting here in angst at all.
I am, though.
You a little angst?
For this reason. I don't sign up for 10 wins, Mike. And this is my problem. Since the Super Bowl, everybody, not you, Mike, but I'm going to remove this shell. The expectations drop. The bar drops.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think right now the Eagles are Super Bowl contenders. That's what I signed up for.
I certainly agree with that.
And that's my problem.
I agree with that. And so that's a sense of disappointment that they're not Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah.
Okay. I got that. We look at this team and we can say that they're not Super Bowl contenders. They're good, but they're not great. They're not a team that you go, wow, they got a chance.
Yeah, a quick example. Let's say City Jones could play. Mm-hmm. You then don't have to pay Darius Slay $50 million, and then you can take that cap room, and who knows what you might do to help your quarterback on the offensive side. But because you drafted Douglas and Jones in the second and third round, they both are now gone. You had to go spend money for a corner, which limits your ability to spend money for skill position. They spend money on the lines. Howie smart about that. But imagine if you had Deshaun and another outside guy you knew about versus a rookie who you hope about. If Rager is a star, sure, they can make, then they become. But if they had a guy opposite and you are able to have the money to pay him because that $50 million went to a receiver, now I'm talking.
All right, so let's open it up because I think we agree here that they're not a Super Bowl contender. Now, how does that sit with you? The problem is that I'm kind of letting them off the hook, and I'm not getting angry that they're not a Super Bowl contender because I've already been disappointed this year. And so I go, okay, I got to take what they give me at this point because otherwise I'll blow my brains out to think that this team could win a Super Bowl. So my expectations have gone down to the point where I'm going to have to be satisfied with a playoff season, but not a great Super Bowl contender. And to think anything else is, Anthony's looking at me with hairy eyeballs.
I can't think
of anything else is like to set myself up for a reality that's not really there. The reality when I look at this team is that they're not a Super Bowl team, but they're pretty good. So I'll take it. I have to take it as I see it. And I'll start with this Sunday where they win the game by 10. And then I go in the next week and go, well, maybe they're good.
One game at a time.
That's a good mindset. You'll learn as you go along how good they are. Right now, you evaluate and you go, I don't see Super Bowl. But that can always change depending on how they play together and blend and what they're doing on offense and defense, stuff like that. So it could change. But right now, they're not. And so how do you feel about that? 610-632-0975 is how you climb in on a Football Friday. Brian Westbrook talking some football starting at 4 o'clock. He'll join us for an hour. It is the Mike Misnelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic and our friends on TV at NBC Sports Philly. Back after this.
The Mike Misnelli Show. 97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, 2:23, Mike Misnelli Show, Football Friday. Oh, my God, we got an Eagles game on Sunday. It's hard to believe. We went from, it's not going to be season. No, everything's going to be canceled. Now here we are. Boom. Week one, and it's going to be a win. And so everybody's going to be happy next week. All right, it's 2:23, 2 o'clock hour. It's brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors. If you're looking for equipment, parts, and supplies for heating and cooling jobs, just visit Ferguson's County location. It's on North 7th Street in Philadelphia. All right, the Twitter poll. Let's start it. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. If you need a new mower, if you need other outdoor power equipment, the best place to go is Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Face-to-face customer service. Remember that? Yeah, that's what you get at Paul B. Moyer & Sons in Doylestown, PA. Order online at paulbmoyer.com. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. We have 444 votes on this poll right now. Are the Eagles Super Bowl contenders? 44% say yes. 56% say no.
56% say not a contender.
Say not Super Bowl contenders.
Well, see, this is what I mean about Eagle fans, because, and Philadelphia fans in general, are smart like that. Like, they're not, listen, we have Yahoos, and that's good. But we also have people that analyze what they are, and they're good. And I think we're going to have a fun season, but they're not, you know, you put your eyeballs in this team, and you go, that's not Super Bowl. You put your eyes on that team last night. What did you think?
Well, they can repeat.
Yes. You can just tell with your own eye. People are smart here. They know what's good, what's not good. Now, this team is not good, but they're not Super Bowl level good.
No.
And that can change, though.
Right. And we didn't think that week one of the year they actually won the Super Bowl. None of us thought they were actually going to win the Super Bowl. You're lying if you think that.
Yeah.
And it can play out. My issue is I thought once they got to the Super Bowl, and I was naive. I thought because this is the gold standard and, you know, we're doing things differently, the new normal and all that kind of stuff, that every year they would be contenders. And that has not worked out that way. So I'm in between. Obviously, I think they're a playoff team. And if you're a playoff team, you have a shot. But I thought they were going to be like the Chiefs. Come back and be in the mix every single year and be contenders. And that has not happened.
Yeah, well, here's the good of the whole thing. They from last year, we knew they needed to be heavily improved wide receiver, heavily improved cornerback, and they took steps to that
for sure.
So, you know, we haven't seen it play out yet, but they did attack the two spots that we all said really need improvement. And at the same time, their offensive line became fragmented, but they did improve the weak parts of this team. So, who knows? Maybe they win a division. They win 11 games, win a division, get a good seed. Who knows?
Yeah, only one bye this year. So,
all right. 610-620-975. I want to hear how people feel. Like 56% say no Super Bowl team. All right. Ryan in Lumberton starts things off. Ryan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ryan.
Hey, how are you today,
What's up, Ryan?
So, I want to talk a little bit about both the Eagles and the Phillies, actually.
Okay.
Let's start with the prominent subject of the day, the Eagles. I pretty much agree with everything that you said. I think the Eagles are a good team, not a great team, but that's probably good enough for them to make the playoffs, especially in the year where they have an extra playoff spot, which, by the way, is something I don't really like. I don't know why they had to add a new playoff team, but whatever. I think they'll easily make it. I think that in terms of overall talent, they're probably on par with Dallas, except for the quarterback position, and that's why they'll end up winning the division, because I think Prescott stinks. But, yeah, they're definitely not. I don't think they're a Super Bowl team, unfortunately, and that's just the way it is. But I want to talk about the Phillies yesterday, because I called the sound-off line yesterday. I think I was the only caller that made a sports point on sound-off yesterday, actually. And I asked about Matt Klentak, basically saying, you know, I think it's rooting for the future of the team to root for the Phillies to potentially implode this year, so you fire him. And you said you didn't think Klentak would get fired.
Yeah, because they're going to make the playoffs.
Well, the point of my call was
they fall apart. But you're saying they can't. They're not bad enough to fall apart in relation to all the other teams. That's what I'm telling you. So you would have to fire a guy that made the playoffs but didn't make them heartily, didn't make the playoffs. So you're saying even if they do make the playoffs, you should still go.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, you watched that game yesterday, I'm sure.
Right. Yeah.
They blew yet another lead that they had a commanding lead in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And who is it that got all these guys here that keep blowing all these leads?
Yeah, you're right. He hasn't done it.
How many more wins would they have if they had a better bullpen?
He hasn't done a good job. But my point is, I always look at the realism. Like, you want a guy fired. It's just like fire Brett Brown. Well, there was a four bouncer that beat him. So management goes, it was a four bouncer. I can't fire him out. I look bad. So the Phillies are going to make the playoffs because they did have a streak there where they won 9 of, what, 11? And so they win enough games to get into the playoffs this year. Is the owner going to go, I'm going to fire him. We did make the playoffs and it was progress, but now I'm going to fire him? See, I don't think that's realistic. You and I might think that he needs to be fired. I'm looking at how front office people and management and presidents act.
All right, I got you. Have a good day, Mike.
All right. I hear the disappointment in your voice, and I totally get it. But I don't listen, it is possible that the Phillies don't make the playoffs, in which case it would be an easy decision to fire the general manager because he has failed. He replaced bad with bad at the trading deadline in order to fortify this team. And for the life of me, I don't understand. I was saying this before the show. I'm looking at a guy like Workman. And I go, what? They have advanced scouts. In fact, that's a job I would love. I'll go on the road to watch a guy pitch. And I guess what I would say about Workman? Yeah, I don't know. His best pitch is a curveball. He has no command on it. So what good is he? He doesn't throw 95. He's not going to get people out that way. So why would you? They put him in a closer spot. Not only that, but now the manager's got total immunity, keeps using the guy in a closer spot. And you go, well, who else does he have? Well, I don't know who else he has, but this guy, how many outs has he gotten as a Philly? This guy. Now, Kapler pulled that crap. Why do you keep sending him out there? Kapler's an idiot. Why does he keep sending Workman out there?
Mike, you're absolutely right. And a sound off later on will show it. People are furious. But you don't hear the manager's name.
No, the manager's got immunity.
And he shouldn't. And at this point, I don't know who it is, but what you can do is keep doing the same thing and assuming that a guy with very little track record is going to figure it out. So I don't care who else you put there. I don't care if you put Neris back there at this point. For now, none of it's good enough, but you can't keep going with this guy. You can't. This is terrible.
But here's the other thing. The whole thing connects. Because they have a bullpen coach, too, right?
Yeah.
Now, when this guy is warming up, is that bullpen coach looking at his command of the curveball? He's got no command. The ball comes off his fingers. Sometimes he loses it, goes way up. Sometimes it's in the ground. He has no idea how to... Whatever has happened to Workman, a curveball has to be thrown the same way every single time, which means you have to have a command. It's the reason why people... If you look at the pitchers and say... hardly any of them throw a curveball. They'll throw occasionally. They'll mix in a curveball. A slider's a lot easier to throw. A curveball has more arm action. You got to have a better angle, and you got to release it the same way every single time or you lose control of it. This guy doesn't have command of it.
I don't know what's going to happen, Mike. I can tell you this, though. It's not fun watching the Phillies.
No, but here it is. They have 21 wins. They're in second place. Even if the Marlins pass them, the Phillies are going to be in that area where they're right there. Here are the other teams. The other wild card teams are going to be chosen. The 20-win teams, the Mets have 20 wins. If you look at the West, the Giants, oh, yeah, Kapler's team has 23 wins.
Yeah, I was looking at it.
And the Rockies have 20. So those are the teams you got to look at if the Phillies fall out of this second slot.
Yeah, the Phillies are fifth out of eight teams make it. They're fifth. The Giants are now eighth. They're three games ahead in the loss column there.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the Mets, they're five ahead of them in the loss column. They're probably going to make the postseason, but they still stink. And that's my issue. And the line of they stink because this bullpen. And yes, this is unbelievable. This is unbelievable, though. They score six runs or more, it seems like, every game. They would be 32-9 if they won all the games that they had a two-run lead or more. So let's say you split the difference. They're in first place easy. They're postseason easy. You can't be this bad at that part of the job and expect me to have any enthusiasm about your team. I'm glad football's starting. It's miserable watching the Phillies. You can't enjoy it. They get out to a 7-2 lead, 6-3. You should be able to enjoy it. Every single fan in this city is sitting there unhappy, up 6-3, because we're like, oh, that's not enough. That's not a big enough gap. Arrieta stunk in the first inning, managed to battle his way through 5 2/3. Actually, he pitched with some guile. He showed some heart. And then they lose the game. And, Mike, you tell me that baseball players police themselves. And I trust you on that. The last time they played the Marlins, remember, they risked them getting corona, and they disrupted their entire season. The reason they have to play all these doubleheaders and stuff is because of what the Marlins did.
Yeah.
And then last night, with a 3-run lead, I got to deal with Marlins players sitting in the batter's box comfortable as hell. They like in a lounge chair. Nobody's throwing inside. There's no retribution for them derailing your whole season. I thought you guys policed yourselves. That's on the manager, too. You can't just let that happen. The Marlins was just chilling. They should feel uncomfortable playing. You're a wild pitcher. You should feel even more uncomfortable. They're sitting in their batter's box, comfortable, teeing off. You derailed the whole Philly season. There should have been some retribution. Nobody got hit. Nobody got yelled at. No brawl. Nothing. It's just another day at the ballpark, boys.
Wow. There's a voice again.
He is off today.
It made me mad. I thought this was a revenge game.
Yeah, well.
Thought the Phillies were out for blood.
Yeah, it destroyed their whole season.
It did.
Like, they had to sit out 8 days, whatever. Then they're traveling all over. This becomes a doubleheader. Now we're going to Buffalo. Now we got to do this. All because the Marlins were jerks. Mm-hmm. And then you just let them comfortably sit in the batter's box and beat your head in and score 7 runs?
Maybe we should send them the sound clip. Send it to the Phillies and let them play it. Play it before the game tonight.
Police yourselves and do something to make somebody uncomfortable in that batter's box.
Yeah.
You already stink.
Yeah, well, here's the beauty of this whole thing, because they replaced guys that throw 92 with guys that throw 92, right? It's the 92-mile-an-hour bullpen, which I've never seen anything like it, right, for a team that's supposed to be a winning team. So here, let's just analyze this. They squeeze a good inning out of Neris. Oh my God, they shoot the freaking fireworks. He gets out of the seventh. Yes. So they got a 3-run lead. They bring in 2-ton Tommy, right?
Yes.
He comes in. What's the first thing he does?
He walks somebody.
He walks the first hitter. He's got a 3-run lead. Here's Mike pitching.
There you go, sir.
Here you go, kind sir. Here's the ball. Throw it up in the air and hit it anywhere you want. Because I ain't walking yet. I got a 3-run lead. Even if you hit a home run, I got a 2-run lead. But you're going to hit it.
Exactly.
This guy's a veteran.
Walks the first
batter. How many pitches did he walk him on?
I think it was 5. I think. And I was switching back and forth.
3-2 he walked
him. Okay, it was 4.
But he went 2-0 to him.
Let them get out of it. And then what happens, like 80% of the time anymore, if you walk the leadoff batter, you know he's scoring.
Mm-hmm.
You know he's scoring. And then the guy can't even get through an inning.
His first pitch, and this is, I don't know who's calling pitches, whether JT Realmuto's calling him or whether they call him from the dugout. The first pitch Hunter throws in that inning is a curveball with a 3-run lead. Why? What's the point? I swear to God, I should be a manager. I should be an advanced scout. I should be a general manager. I should be a pitching coach.
And that's it, Mike. You might have to. I know you like doing this job. This might have to be the end for this reason.
Why would you call a curveball? First pitch, you get a 3-run lead. You should throw 3 strikes. You throw a sinker. Throw the freaking sinker.
You got to head down to the Dominican Republic, Mike.
I know.
You got to leave behind
your time.
You mailed a passport. You said you can't come home till you find some guys that throw 100. You got to go down there now with this bullpen. You got to go find at least 2, 3, maybe 4 guys. Uh-huh. I know they might all work, but you got to find 4 flamethrowers that are 18 years old down there. Get them on the Phillies, and then you can come back. Because they can't do it. I'm sick of this 92, Mike. I can't.
Girardi has, if you notice after the game, Girardi's got a little powwow with Realmuto. Did you see that in the dugout?
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, what is Girardi asking Realmuto? What is he? Realmuto's gone, Skip, he doesn't have control of the deuce. What? You can't see that as a manager?
Right.
Every outing, the guy has struggled throwing a curveball. His out pitch. What are you asking Realmuto?
Right, and Realmuto can call whatever he wants. He can shake him off. The pitcher has ultimate control. The catcher.
I'm dumb. Yeah, whatever. Let's go to Eric in Long Island. Eric, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Eric.
Cool.
What's going on, Eric?
Tigers are an Eagle game on a Monday. Listen, you know, Super Bowl contenders, they're definitely not. You know, I have a hard enough time believing they're a true playoff team. You know, with the depth in the NFC this year, with Tampa, New Orleans, and obviously Seattle, San Francisco, potentially Green Bay, Minnesota, you know, Arizona's going to be improved. You know, there's a lot of holes on this football team that need to be addressed. Obviously, the offensive line is crippled by injuries. You're missing two guys before the season starts. Lane Johnson with his ankle, obviously he's probably going to improve over time. But Peters, I mean, you know he's not going to stay healthy the entire season.
All right, what exactly are you not happy with? Other than the offensive line, which we know has the obvious problems, but that could very well turn in their favor, too. So what are you unhappy with?
I think they needed to address the linebacking core. I know it's not a priority of theirs. It never has been. I think they need to kind of revisit that a little bit. I don't have any trust in Jalen Mills to replace Malcolm Jenkins, whether it's on or off the field. Now, granted, you don't want to give Malcolm that contract. We can talk about that. But Jalen Mills, to me, the jury's still going to be out on him. And then the other question is the wide receiving core. They've added more speed, but can these guys catch the ball? Can a Deshaun Jackson at, what, 35 years old?
Well, we shall see. But see, you have to see that. You can't dismiss it before you see it. They did work to add to a weakness, right?
Right, I agree.
Okay, they drafted players there, and they think they've got the other guy rehabbed with, you know, J.D. Arcega-Whiteside. I think he's going to be better. So we'll just have to see. You can't dismiss it, like, summarily.
No, I hear you, Mike. All right, the jury's still out, wait and see type of thing. But let me just, my last point, though, is I really think, and I know it's not going to go over well, but, you know, in this town, I really think the Dallas Cowboys are primed for a big year because of the fact that Jason Garrett is out of there. I just think the black cloud has been lifted over that franchise. Mm-hmm. McCarthy's going to come in there. It's almost going to, like, they're going to reset. I just think Dallas is primed for a big year.
Yeah, you could be right. Most people are picking Dallas to win a division, but that doesn't mean the Eagles aren't going to make the playoffs. I mean, you got them not making the playoffs. I'm curious to know why you think they're going to be that bad.
I just think they're in that 7-9 to 9-7 window, and then like it always is. Week 16, week 17, we got to win a game, or we got to hope somebody loses. You know, so I don't know. It could go either way, but you know, I guess you kind of turned me around a little bit in a sense. It's more of a wait and see. But right now, before the season, do I think they're a playoff team? No, I think they're slightly missed. But you know, we'll see what happens. I'll talk to them Monday.
Okay, you got it, buddy. I appreciate the call. All right. Well, they down on me. I don't know, before the first game, I don't think you'd be down on them. We haven't even seen them in preseason. At least, like, we used to go, they're in preseason, they're lacking this and that, they're lacking that. This is all a mystery. Like, the time to be down on them isn't now.
Right, and
they lose to Washington, then obviously we got some panic setting in.
We will, and just as likely, there are guys that emerge every year. Even on bad teams, there's guys that you're not thinking about that emerge. Mm. What if a receiver emerges opposite Jackson? Now you could be dynamic because you got the running back and the tight ends. That could also happen. I'm trying to leave room for that as well. I can't just assume that Rager and Arcega-Whiteside, there have been rookie wide receivers that stunk that get better in year two. Like, that's not impossible. I need to see it, like you said, but it's not impossible for a guy to click opposite. And whether we like it or not, probably October 1st, so after a few weeks, Alshon's back. I mean, he's going to be playing. They couldn't trade him. He'll be back. And at least you know he's a possession guy you can go to on third down, another guy. Like, if Jackson's there, it can still fit at wide receiver. I can't be completely down.
Yeah, I got you. My biggest worry is that the running back will get hurt. Because I don't know if he's not as hardy as Westbrook. Miles. I see he's susceptible for nicks and necks.
He could be. We never really got the full.
We didn't really get to see him last year. Yeah. Well, I mean, we did, but not enough.
Yeah, he touched it. He ended up touching a lot late.
Late, yeah, but that was after.
We don't know what injury it is. That's a possibility. They like Boston Scott. Yeah. Deuce really likes him.
Yeah, but he's a backup, change of pace dude. I don't. You know, they need a reliable guy to catch the ball in the backfield and carry the football. But, all right, we'll see. We'll see what happens. So here we go, Eagle fans. What are you feeling right now? 610-632-9797.
1-800-919-0975. Caller's way down on him. I don't see that at all. I don't see a 10-win playoff team. Maybe I'm missing it. Mike Missinelli Show, back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, 246, Mike Missinelli Show, 610-632-0975. That's how you get in. It is Football Friday, and Football Friday on The Fanatic is brought to you by AAA. Wherever the open road takes you, take AAA. Oh, we have a big announcement that's coming up a little later in the show. Right?
Yeah, 4:30.
4:30, big announcement, special announcement. What could it be?
I mean, I know.
And yeah. I know.
You don't know.
Yeah, I got a guy who emailed me. Let me just see this. He was guessing. He says, what could you possibly be your announcement that you're leaving? Ha 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 ha.
was that supposed to be
that
funny?
Is
that a joke?
Is the major announcement that you're resigning?
He thinks he's funny, but he's not.
Well, no, that's not it.
That's not it.
As far as I know, but I don't know, so it might be. So you just have to.
That's not it.
4:30.
Yeah,
it's good news.
Yeah, it's good news.
Yes, would be bad news. This is good news.
It's good news for me. No, I'm just kidding,
Mike.
Then I can go into the sunset,
or the Dominican Republic,
farm in Montana. The ranch in Montana. All right, 610-622-0975. Let's go to EJ in West Philly. What's up, EJ?
Mike Missinelli.
What's going on, man? Where you been hiding?
You see him on the telly. I go hard on the microphone. Fly, Eagles, fly like my man Tyrone. Put some bars. What's up, Mike?
What's going on, EJ?
Man, you know what it is. I am the freestyle fanatic, the 34-for-4 representative, Mitchell and Ness, poster boy, and probably the best unsigned freestyle artist on the streets of Philadelphia today.
I heard that about you, the best freestyle artist on the streets.
His Imperial Majesty, man. I am him. You understand what I'm saying?
I hear you. I got
Tyrone, what's up, bro? You still outside it up, good brother? Tyrone.
Season's over, brother.
Yeah, I don't know if you noticed.
They got
eliminated, EJ.
Yeah, well, you know, he's still outsider because he's outside the box. The kings that he shares, you know, is
the kingdom. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, he is outside the box.
He is outside the box, but I'm going to have to step inside his box for this one because I'm going to say this, Brother Tyrone. Had the Eagles not made the playoffs 3 straight years in a row with a list of injuries that would make COVID-19 look crazy, like, come on.
Correct.
Yes. Yes, they have.
Did they not win against the overrated Dallas Cowboys with a bunch of practice squad dudes and dudes that might have been serving drinks at Chickie and Pete's at the beginning of the year? They did that, right?
Yes.
They did that, right?
Yeah.
And again, this year, Dallas is overrated. They have a new coach who didn't do nothing with the greatest quarterback, one of the greatest quarterbacks in history, and they got one Super Bowl. What have they done besides lose to the Giants and lose as home favorites in the playoffs?
Well, I think we're agreeing with you that they're a playoff team. You're saying they're better than that.
I'm saying that they're better than Dallas.
That means they'll get a bye. That's all good.
And my next point is, you say they're not a Super Bowl team. If you look at that game last night, who the hell is a Super Bowl team besides Kansas City?
Well, I haven't seen anybody play yet.
That's my point. until the team plays, especially with the COVID, with the lack of preseason, with the lack of any training camp, we don't know what we're going to do.
Well, let's just look at the NFC and see what we have there. All right, so you think the Eagles are better than Dallas?
I think we have the best quarterback and the best coach in the division.
All right, are they better than the Vikings?
Seems like we beat the Vikings every time we play.
I'm asking, like right now, are they better than the Vikings? I'm just asking. You say yes.
I would take them over the Vikings.
All right, they're better than the Saints and the Bucks.
I wouldn't say the Saints. The Bucks, I don't know. That Tom Brady thing is a mystery with me. I still think he's a shot fighter that's trying to get hyped up.
They better than the 49ers and Seahawks.
As long as Russell Wilson is playing, I might say no. But at the same token, Seattle had a more horrible line than we did last year, and they still won. So I don't know, bro.
Okay. I'm just saying they're in the mix. I don't know if they're the team that you go, that's the team that's going to represent the NFC.
Hell no. But as Tyrone and you guys so acutely stated, the year that they did represent us, we didn't think they was going to represent us. So my whole thing is, Mike, I think the whole season will play out in an unexpected fashion outside of the Kansas City.
Well, listen, man, I hope you're right. I definitely hope you're right. I don't know what to call right now because I look at the requisite strength of the team. I go, they're good. Are they great? Are they Super Bowl worthy? No. They could surprise me. They could shock me. Now, in relation with this new playoff format, you got to have the three division champs to get the bye. So let's just say that all the prognosticators are right. Sorry. That's right. Just the one team gets the bye. So it would go 2-7, 3-6, 4-5. All right. So the team that gets the bye would be, which one would you think it would be? The Saints?
No, I actually think it's going
49ers?
To be, I think it's going to be the Seahawks.
You think Seahawks get it?
Yes.
Okay.
I think the 49ers are going to take a bit of a step.
All right, so the Seahawks get it. Can the Eagles be the two-spot team?
It's not impossible.
It's not likely, though. You would go Dallas as the two team?
No, I think the Eagles win the division.
All right,
I think
49ers would be the two team?
No, because they're not going to win the division. At that point, I guess the Saints would be the two seed.
Saints would be the two seed.
Yeah.
Okay. Saints, the two seed. The three seed?
Packers.
Three seed would be the Packers?
Yeah.
Not the Niners?
Because of the division.
Okay.
Division winners. The San Fran, I think, are going to be the wild card behind Seahawks, who I think are going to win that division.
All right. So the Eagles are likely, what, in a 4-5 spot?
I think they're fourth.
Okay. All right, so they'll be in a 4-5 game.
A home game, that's what I think would happen. Mm-hmm. And then 49ers, Tampa, and Dallas maybe, or somebody, probably Dallas would be the three wild cards, and that would be your seven teams.
All right. And we're going to measure them against all these other teams, right? I would say the teams that are better than them, Seahawks, 49ers, Saints, I don't know about Tampa.
Yeah, too
Vikings
early to say
better.
I don't think so. I really don't.
We'll play it out.
I don't think so.
I can't wait.
I think that they're. It would not be impossible for them to even be two, but I don't think they can be one.
Yeah.
That's the weird thing. They can be anywhere from 2 to 7, but I don't think they can be one. Right. And I think with only one team getting a bye, that team has a huge advantage for making the Super Bowl in each conference.
Okay.
Because everybody else has to play an extra week of football.
All right. 610-632-0975. That's how you climb it. It's the Mike Missanelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Valley.